Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome to Rock That Relationship. We're excited to be back, just Tracy and I right now, on an episode where the two of us are going to talk about signs and symbols, because we both have kind of a predisposition for seeing signs, getting kind of visual representations of kind of, you know, psychic messages. We have premonitions and dreams, and we want to spend some time talking a little bit about that. So, Tracy, what's your take on this topic? Like, are you a big kind of believer in like signs from the universe? Have you always sort of seen signs?
Yes, I'm a big believer. I can't remember if I've always seen signs or not, like since I was a kid. I don't know. But I did have, like, growing up, I did always feel that I was in the wrong place, that I should be in Paris, even though no one in my family spoke another language. I never had traveled anywhere. But I was like, why am I not in Paris? Why am I not in Paris? And then I had these very weird things about Russia, and I saw a Marc Chagall painting about Russia, and I was like, identified so much with it, even though I'm not Russian, no one in my family was. And then as I got older, you know, a lot of that, I didn't pay that much attention to it. And then I also was obsessed with the Holocaust as a teen, which isn't your normal, like, teen obsession, right? And so much stuff where I felt so connected to these things. And then it wasn't until in the last 4 years, obviously since we met, that, like, all this stuff started making a lot more sense.
So were these more like feelings that you had, or like you talked about this painting, did you have other like artifacts of physical signs that you saw that were like, huh, that feels familiar, or I'm sensing
not
something?
Not familiar, but like that, it's not really a sense of familiarity. It was more like a knowing. That's kind of what I have. It's like a knowing. I just kind of know things. It's not a sense of familiarity, right? So I just know, like, I'm married now. People thought it was a very quick dating to marriage. It was less than 2 months. And I just knew. I knew from day one. I just knew it. It's not like I saw a sign. It's not like I saw a symbol. I mean, the psychic did tell me that, you know, I was going to meet my soulmate. And if I said, you know, I'm open to the universe, I said out loud, I'm ready to meet my soulmate. I'm very ready that it happened. But when I met her, I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
Not immediately, because I thought, well, but the minute I knew, it was like 3 days in, and I just knew it. So it's more like a knowing. I see the signs and symbols. The things I see are like the numbers, you know, they call them angel numbers, 1111, 111, 222, whatever. I do still see those a lot. And I did not, I don't know if I saw them before. But since I really feel that, I feel like for the first time in my life in the last 4 years, I'm on the right path for what I want. And I see those a lot. And I see them when I'm like, when I've thought something, and then it's like suddenly there it is to validate my feelings.
Okay.
So I guess I do use these numbers, you know, as validation that I'm on the right track.
Right, right. So some people see signs as a way of like just all of a sudden just informing them of something that they hadn't even heard or thought. And then other people see signs as more of a validation of some type of intuition that you might have had, or that you're already doing something and you're just feeling whether you're in alignment. And so, yeah, I mean, I've tried to use signs as kind of a direction post. That's when I was first kind of really tapping into signs. About 4 years ago, I was really, really focusing on signs. But it kept kind of throwing me off a little bit, because sometimes the signs would tell me something that felt different than what my gut was telling me. And I got really confused, and I ended up going to an intuition coach to get it all sorted out. And she told me that signs and symbols for me also are more validating, right? But they're not my intuitive process is so strong that the signs might end up throwing me off. So, I mean, I do get some signs that help me sort of explore something maybe I wouldn't have thought about. When I was getting Reiki done for the very first time, I actually had this vision of a llama that came in my brain in a far off land. and it had a red bandana kind of over its mouth, and I thought it was kind of strange. It was in 2021, September, and I had met you previously a month or so earlier at that, well, maybe it was 2 months
Pool
almost,
party,
at the
right?
pool party. And then when I met up with you again, we started talking with you and me and two other folks about possibly hiking Machu Picchu. And then all of a sudden it like occurred to me that I was on the right track. Like this is the wagon I'm going to hitch my horse to, because there was something about that llama and a far off land. I was like, okay, this feels like I should follow this. And incidentally, I never made it to Machu Picchu with you because of my mother's death, but you ended up going, and that ended up having a ripple effect on another person. And so, but for me, that sign was very, very strong. So, and it didn't validate anything for me at the time, because I didn't know what it would be validating.
Right.
But once I had the experience, I could reflect back and be like, ha, this is what that meant,
Right.
like the aha moment.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I've always had very, very strong intuitive responses since I was very, very young. And dreams, premonitions. I was just out to dinner a couple days ago with an old friend of mine who was telling, her son was with us, and she was telling him, she goes, yeah, Corey is like super intuitive. She has these crazy dreams that come true. She's like, do you remember the one where you dreamt about the plane crash before it happened? And I said, I do remember that one. I woke up in the morning and I could describe the plane, everything about it. I knew everything about the crash. I knew where it had crashed. And I turned the news on, and it had crashed just right around that time, just enough to be on the news. But it was in the middle of the night for me when it crashed, so I wouldn't have known it otherwise. But
What was your connection to that plane? Anything?
nothing. But you know what's interesting about it is that plane crashed, I think it was in Colorado, and then it wasn't too long after that that I had this really fascinating dream that was in color, and it was so vivid. And I was driving through a small town in Colorado. Again, a nondescript. I have no idea what town this was. And I think at the time I had never even been to Colorado. And I was driving through, and I remember seeing this gas station on the corner. And it had one of those old-fashioned kind of gas pumps that was rounded at the top. And it was like a tumbleweed rolling by. So it probably was like, I can't remember, southern Colorado. I could describe everything. I went down the street. I knew all the stores. And I thought, I have been there before. I don't know where this is. So I went to my library at my university, and I talked to a librarian, and I described what happened. And I said, do you have any picture books of small towns of Colorado? And she said, yes. So she pulled a bunch of them out, and we looked through until I could find it. And I found the town, and it was exactly what I described.
How
I
old were you?
college, 19, 20. Yeah. But it was the same thing. It was another Colorado thing. So I don't know. I don't really have an affinity or anything for
Right.
Colorado in a different way, but there's something. I've been there before. I knew enough about it, where to go. I was walking down the street in my dream. I could turn certain directions. So,
Wow.
but I have a lot of dreams. Like, I predict things with my dreams quite a bit. That's how most of the signs come to
Right.
me.
Yes.
Do you have any that stand out to you as like strong signs?
Dreams?
Yeah, dreams or.
No, dreams I don't really have. I just suddenly know, not suddenly, I don't mean that in a sudden way, but I get like a knowing in my mind, like almost like a piece of information is inserted into my mind, you know? I have known about three people who were going to die before they did.
Yeah.
One is almost there. And then I have, it's very weird because like I see something and it's like, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, I told you about your mom. But I didn't tell you at the time, but you said,
No.
oh, it's great. She's just gallbladder and she's going to be fine. And in my mind, it said, no, she's not. She's going to die. But I didn't blurt that out. So, and it's other things that I just know. Like, I seem to know quite a bit about you. Like, I just know it. It's more like I know your thoughts, not like detailed thoughts, but like your
Right.
general. I'm always right about that, you know?
Yeah, you always know kind of what path I'm should be on, the things I shouldn't be. And sometimes you give me a heads up, and then sometimes you just sort of wait until after, like the mom thing. It would have been really
Right. Well, I would
uncomfortable and
never
weird.
say that. Right. Can you
Right.
imagine? Then you're just living on. That'd be awful. But like, I guess other things and about people, and I've always been this person who people will just sit down and tell me like seriously everything. Like if they murdered someone or they, you know, I've actually had people tell me that, but like they'll tell me everything. I'm just approachable in that way.
Well, maybe because you're intuitive and you already know these things deep down. So they know to be drawn to you, right?
I
Like you.
don't know. If it's like not even people I know though.
I know they
Like
do.
people will tell me stuff that they, it's a lot of stuff. I don't know why. I think it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. I
I need
mean,
to explore that more.
more the spiritual connection, the drawing in, the helping, the healing, all of that stuff.
Right.
But I want to share too another story kind of related to signs and symbols that's a little bit different than the knowing, because I get the knowing a lot. Like I get that just like you do. I don't, it's not a whisper. It's not a visual representation. Sometimes they're dreams, like I say, but my biggest one is just a knowing. Like I can just feel it. But I will tell you, like I've had some real strong visual signs lately. So I might have mentioned this, but you know, I had gotten out of a relationship almost 6 months ago now. But when I first got out of it, remember I saw that license plate that at Tumamoc, or where I hike, and it was a license plate in a car that said Abuela P, which means Grandma P. And Grandma P or Grandma Penny was what my daughter used to call my mom. And I was like, oh my gosh, my mom. I feel like my mom is here. And then all of a sudden I started seeing pennies everywhere. My mom's name was Penny. And we kind of had this like funny thing, like, you know, come back to me in pennies kind of thing. Because she was an artist and would mark things with pennies. But I have found pennies everywhere. But it was interesting because then it's kind of slowed down a little bit because I'm feeling like a whole lot back to myself and stuff. But get this, on 2 days ago, it was August 11th, and it was my dad's birthday. Now my dad died 10 years ago, so I think he would have been 83. But he died 10 years ago, and I was out walking in the morning, and I was just, you know, I'm not really like overly sad about it, but I'm just kind of like, huh, it's kind of a melancholy thing. And I'm out walking and this dog runs up right behind me. And I'm kind of a little freaked out about dogs. I haven't had a dog in a long time. And when I'm out walking, people let their dogs run up and I'm like, oh gosh, and they bark. And this was the friendliest dog I had ever met. Came right up next to me and just wanted to walk with me. So I walked for a little bit and I thought the dog's going to run back home. And then the dog never ran back home. And his tongue was hanging out. He was so hot. It's really hot out. So he followed me back to my house and I gave him water. And I was like, well, you can't live here, but you can stay here for a little while until you cool down. So we sat on the patio together and I did my work from my computer on my patio while he laid on my lap and drank a bunch of water and get back on my lap. And he's not a small dog. And so we did a lot of cuddling and then we decided to walk back out and try to knock on doors and couldn't find his owner. I had posted it online. I hadn't heard anything. So I jumped in the car and I decided to go over to our Pima Animal Care Center to see about his microchip. And remember, I got there and I was like, I can't wait in this line. There's a line of like 40 people. I didn't have a leash or a collar. So I said, I feel like I need to go back. And I stopped and got him some food. I had run into a gas station as fast as I could, grabbed him some food, came back to my house. He ate, drank, we cuddled some more. And then I got a message from what was his owner online on the post I had put. And so we ended up reuniting. He reunited with her. But I'd had him for several hours at that point. And of course, I had already named him. And I decided to name him Padre. That's what I was calling him, Padre, which in Spanish means father because it was my dad's birthday. And Padre kept me company for a lot of the day. And I knew I couldn't keep Padre and I knew I wouldn't want to because he was somebody else's. But I had this, he was like a sign. It was like a sign that my dad was here. And my mom has been in my space for the last several months, dropping pennies out of thin air. She's kind of stepped back a little bit. And all of a sudden this Padre dog shows up and I'm pretty sure it felt very much like my dad was with me. It was so comfortable. And then yesterday I ended up getting in the car and his song came on, that my dad's song came on, the one that always reminds me of him. And then something else happened with my dad. So I've had like three dad signs this week during his birthday week, which I think is interesting because now that my mom sort of stepped out of the way a little bit, my dad's here to say, hey, I'm here too. So it was really cool.
Maybe you're a mom, but your dad said, step aside, Penny. I've got this.
Well, yeah,
Take a rest, right?
when they were married, they would. Certainly
I mean,
go.
what if they're talking? You know
Right,
what I mean?
and they're
Or
tag
he,
teaming. Yeah,
right? Like, oh, you go on vacation now, and I'm going to take care of this.
I know, right? Well, and I'm feeling like just so much more back to myself. It was kind of a chaotic summer, and after I got back from my Iceland trip, I was feeling considerably better. And then the pennies, I stopped finding as many pennies, and I her presence just didn't feel as strong. And then my dad sort of stepped in, which I don't know, it was kind of cool.
I know.
Yeah.
And the dogs, you named the dog Padre, not father or whatever.
Yeah.
And the dog's name was Julio,
Julio,
which is interesting.
a five letter Spanish
Spanish.
name.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly the same.
interesting.
And five is my angel number. So, a five,
Oh.
yeah. So five
There you
letters.
go.
So anyways, kind of cool stuff that was happening, you know. So I have these dreams, I have these gut feelings, but I'm also like open to these signs that just come to allow me to sort of explore other things.
Yeah, I think you get more signs than I do.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of interesting signs. You talk about them in your book that's coming out next year.
Next February 10th, 2026.
Yep. I mean,
Yes.
so you do talk about them.
Oh yeah, I was barraged with signs around like who I should date and like weird things like street names named after one person and all sorts of stuff that lots and lots of signs, which, you know, that's the thing I've had to learn is paying attention to these signs as like a definitive paths. Like I have to do that versus, okay, what is this telling me? This is telling me to keep something in my periphery, understand it, and maybe it'll make more sense later. And so that's one of the things I've learned is discernment, is instead of making a quick reaction based on a sign I get, to actually let it sit until it makes the most clear meaning for me aligned with my gut.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But you remember one of the first signs I got for you besides the llama?
Yeah, it involves, because I read about it the other day, Naked and Afraid. Is
Naked.
that
Well, it was when I was at the tarot lady and she pulled the lawyer card. Remember?
that one, yes. Tell us that story, and then I'll tell my perception when you approach me about it. How long have we known each other for?
Gosh, probably only a few weeks after that reuniting at the walk. So we really hadn't been communicating for a long time. And but we kind of jumped right in. As soon as we went on the walk with those folks, we were messaging quite a bit, like memes and silly stuff and all that. But it was a couple weeks later. I had gone to this tarot lady and at this little metaphysical fair, and she pulled a card kind of after my reading, and it said, there is an influential person in your life. And the card was literally a lawyer. And she goes, do you know any lawyers? And I'm like, I don't know if I know. Oh, I think I know that new person that I just met. She's a lawyer. And then I remember I went out to the parking lot and I called you and I'm like, oh, she pulled the lawyer card.
And you're like, do you think it's you? And I'm like, yes. Who else would it be? Yes, I do think it's me.
I don't know any other lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was totally you. So, I mean, I've had a couple signs for you. That one, the llama one, those were really strong signs. I don't know. Have you had any kind of signs for me, or is it just mostly been the premonitions that you had around me?
No, I've only had that one premonition around you. That's the only one. And then just knowing, like, I guess premonition, like, I'm aware when you're doing something. I like you've met some people, you've gone on a hike or whatever, and I already know what's gonna happen before you call me. Like, so when you call me, I'm already aware of how things were, how they're gonna go. I already feel that, like, you know.
You've done that with almost everybody in my immediate circle where you've told me.
I've been right about everybody, haven't
You
I?
have been right about everybody. And now I'm
So
gonna
I just kind of
listen a little more.
know. It's like I just know. What'd you say?
I'm gonna listen a little more.
Oh, thank God.
You
I'm like,
have
you
I
better not have
know
said the opposite. I didn't hear you. I'm like,
Oh,
better not be. You're not gonna listen.
no, I
I'm
am.
right. I'm right. And you're gonna say that next season.
Yes. Well, what is it that you feel when you know that you're right? How does that feel like when it's different than when something's wrong or not, or off or not in alignment?
I mean, it's just like a surety. Like, I'm very clear about it. It's clear in my mind, my body. Like, there's no, I don't know. It's like a known fact to me. Like, when I told that friend that she had killed me, murdered me in the Holocaust, and that I forgave her and she could stop trying to make penance for it in this life. And I never, that was not pre-planned. I never even thought that. And then during a hike, that is the knowing that I got, it's not like suddenly I saw a vision. There were, she was shooting me and all this, but like you had told me that had happened to us. I believe, based on all my like feelings as a kid, that that was accurate. And then when I was hiking with that person, it just suddenly came to me to be known that she was the one who had done it, and that's why she came into our lives, so I could forgive her. And that she had spent her life in penance. And when I told her, you know, again, like she didn't laugh, like a lot of people have gotten hysterical laughing when I've told them the story. She almost vomited. Her body became like covered in goosebumps, and she was had to stop. So there was, it wasn't like, oh, I better run faster and get away from the psycho. Like she knew it. She knew it in her body that day.
So do you think
So
that
it's.
your intersection with her in this lifetime was to reconcile that, or do you think it was just happenstance you came across her and then realized that?
No, it was to reconcile that. And, I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but when you met her in a way that you didn't normally meet people, like on some online group or something. She happened to live in town. You met her first. The whole thing became very weird when the three of us met. I wanted to keep you away from her. You thought she was going to kill me. It got so bizarre. And
Well,
then
yeah, I
that
didn't
kind
think
of.
she was going to kill you. I thought you two were doing dangerous activities, that one of you was going to get
Well,
killed.
that
'Cause
I was
you,
to die, but you were worried that I was going to die during all this.
yeah,
And
I was.
so when, but I didn't have that. I was just like carefree about that, but I wanted you to stay away from her or her to stay away from you. It's like something that I couldn't even control, that I would never ever do. That was so out of character for me, and I could care less, right, generally about anything like that. But it's like it came from a place inside of me that I didn't even know existed, and I just felt this need to keep you away from her. Then it caused problems between us. Then we talked about it, and then on that hike, it just came to me that it's like I just said it. It's like it was true, and I said it, just as if I said, we're on a hike right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just became to be knowledge to me. It's hard to
Right.
explain that. It's just like a knowing.
So you knew it. What made you feel compelled to tell her? Was that part of the process of reconciliation? Was telling
No,
her
it
too?
just came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I didn't pre-plan it. I didn't sit there and think, should I say this or not say this? Is she gonna think I'm crazy? It just literally, I don't even know if I turn around. It's like when I turned around that one time and said, this is not the person for you. And I just said, you killed me. I forgive you. You can stop trying to make penance in this lifetime. And
Yeah.
that was it. And
Wow.
that was it. And this is a person who had 18 foster kids, you know? Like, clearly she was trying to make up for something.
Yeah. Wow.
But it wasn't like I never have a vision or anything like that. And when I saw that Marc Chagall painting, it wasn't like a vision, it was like a knowing. And I had this incident in college where I took art history. I was so annoyed that I had to take it. I'm like, what a waste. I was doing all these foreign language classes and culture and all that. And I, for whatever reason, I had a bias against art. And so I was like so irritated that I'd take this class, and I took it over the summer. And so I remember that there was a Picasso painting, and we had to write an essay about it or whatever. It was the weirdest thing. It was Les Femmes d'Avignon, so the women of Avignon, and their like faces are all distorted and weird in Picasso style, and I think they're prostitutes or something. And so when I wrote that essay about it, I actually cried during the exam. Like I was crying, and I was so moved by whatever the significance of this painting was. So then later, you and I at that tarot card reader lady's house, she told us that we were married in a past life and she couldn't stop seeing it. She told us twice. She stopped the tarot reading to tell us that we were married in a past life and that we were a female couple at the turn of the century in Europe. And so that's when I got the idea that we were Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas. And I told you that. And there's a lot of reasons why I think that, and I can go into that. But what I found out that Gertrude Stein was very good friends with Picasso. And so that painting they may have collaborated on, there may have been something special between them. They both lived in Paris. Gertrude Stein lived in Paris, and so did Picasso. And she may have had that painting may have had some significance to her. And that happened to me when I was in my 20s in college, where I just was crying. It's like, didn't occur to me at the time that I had some kind of connection, but then as an adult, and this is coming up, and it's like, okay, why was I obsessed with the fact that where I should be in Paris when I was living in a cornfield in Illinois? You know, you had your own connection to Paris. And so if you go back and you look at the pictures of them, I mean, we're more attractive in this lifetime, but we have all the traits that they have. Like literally we have very similar physical characteristics, you know?
And personalities, right? I mean,
Yeah.
yeah.
The personalities and the dynamic. You're still bossing me around. You're still like trying to like direct me to do stuff, and you're still kind of like you're the boss, right? Even though I'm overall the spirit guide, but like you're bossing me around this lifetime about what to do. And when I say bossing, I don't mean in a bad way, because Alice Toklas, if Gertrude Stein hadn't written the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, she wouldn't have been really on the map, because her writing was so avant-garde that a lot of people didn't get it. And a lot of the stuff that I've done is it's not really mainstream, right? So I'm very much an outlier. And so that again is like we have such a similar dynamic. When I read about their dynamic, I was like, whoa, like this is basically us to a T now.
Yeah, so interesting because nobody knows really Alice Toklas. I mean that, you know, that's not a household name like Gertrude
But
Stein is.
people believe that she actually wrote the book. So the book was the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, but written by Gertrude Stein, but it only came to fruition after their long partnership. And some people speculate that it was actually Alice who wrote it. And maybe it wasn't Alice, but maybe Alice pushed Gertrude to do it, right? And now in this lifetime, you've written a book where I happen to be one of the central people. So you could be putting me on the map. You're responsible for this podcast, right? So again, you know, and you know, I've been told like, so my writing, I just haven't pursued it, and it's been a real block, and there's been a lot of like talk in my life, why haven't you done this writing? Why don't you pursue it? This and that. And then when I talked to our astrologer, she said, oh, there's past life stuff there where you were like excoriated basically for your writing. And so it all fits, right?
It does. Well, every time we
It
learn
all
about a
fits.
past life, we're like, oh my gosh, that explains this element, right, of our dynamic
Right.
or this one. We keep learning more and more of these things, right? And I think that also, as we talk about it with signs and symbols, it also gives more meaning to particular signs and symbols and things. They might not have had meaning independent of things, but now that there's other intuitive things we might know, when we stumble upon something, we're like, ha, that tracks, right? Like that makes more sense. And so you can see things or feel things or know things that maybe we wouldn't have in isolation, but because all these things keep fitting together like a puzzle, you know, we can make a larger story about it.
Totally.
So what kind of, do you have any kind of instincts or premonitions right now that are sitting with you?
No.
No.
It's like I just know stuff when I know it.
It
And
just
I'm not
comes.
one of those people that's like, oh my God, I don't want to know this. I don't care. Like, I'm fine. I can know it. Nothing, things don't really bother me. Death doesn't bother me. Conflict doesn't bother me. Stuff like that doesn't bother me. It's not like I know the answers to everything in the world. I'm very perplexed by what's happening in our country right now. But I just know stuff.
Well, it's interesting, like what you know. Some of it seems more significant than others. Like it's interesting, like as someone who also identifies as highly intuitive, sometimes I make really bad decisions because I don't have an intuitive ping about something. I'm like,
Right.
why can't I figure this out? But then I'll know exactly which street to drive down to go to the grocery store. Like that'll be a really strong indicator. Maybe it avoided my imminent death in an accident. Maybe that is more significant. But
Right.
it's like when I kind of ask the universe for a sign, or I ask for a feeling, or I'm like seeking it, or I'm open to the clarity that I need, I don't get it. But then it just drops on my head while I'm out walking or something. And it's
Right.
not necessarily that situation. It's just something random. Right? Like it's just like
Right.
boom, okay. I need to know whatever this is, but I don't need to know. I don't know why I'm getting this information right now. But I often don't say anything about it or do anything with it. I mean, I sometimes I'll behave in reaction to it, but I don't often tell people because when I was younger and I would get like these dreams, I thought people thought I was like a lunatic. I mean, I had a dream one night about an active shooter on my campus, and that was going to come the next day. Now, what do I do? Go to the police and say I had a dream about an active shooter? I'm going to be put in custody. So I was like, gosh, I hope this isn't real. And guess what happened? An active shooter came to my campus the very next day. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But still, it was terrifying, right? Like, so sometimes I don't know what to do with these signs that I get through, particularly through my dreams or the information that I get. I'm like, do I head it off, or do I wait? Like, you waited to tell me about my mom, but if you would have told me earlier, would I have listened to you? Would I have stopped her from getting
No.
surgery? No, I probably wouldn't have. I would have been upset with you. But so what do you do?
I mean, you just live with it. I mean, if you had like very specific knowledge, like ahead of time, plane number, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, if you knew that a plane is going to get hijacked, you're going to call. I mean, maybe somebody would take you seriously, but
Yeah.
they wouldn't institutionalize you. They would just say, okay, thanks. And nobody would do anything about it, right? Another crackpot. But I mean, maybe things are supposed to happen also, but why do we know about them? I don't know.
Right. Well, and it at least it heads us off, right? Like, don't get on this plane because it's going to get hijacked. I might not get on the plane, but to tell somebody that the plane is going to get hijacked, I don't know what I want to do with that information. I don't, It's kind of hard. It's like a huge responsibility. So I do, like you,
I
I sit
think
with it.
yours is more, I mean, I mean, when I felt that, I guess about your mom, what if I had said, oh no, actually she's gonna die? I mean, she could have died at She could have been hit by a car. You know what I mean? It's not like I
Right.
knew how she was going to die. It's
But
not like
did
she
you
was
know
like.
that after she had had her surgery? 'Cause, or did you know that well before she went in for the
No, I knew it
surgery?
months before because she went in to have her gallbladder checked or whatever, and you said, oh, it's good news. It's not cancer. She's going to be fine. And my mind said, no, she's not. She's going to die. But it didn't say like, oh, she's going to die of this gallbladder surgery by this botched operation. It's
Right.
not like I knew any details.
Right. So
And
I
why would I
wouldn't.
blurt that out to someone like, oh
Yeah.
no, actually, Corey, she's gonna die. But she did. I mean, but see, that's where I feel like this stuff is more, it's more helpful than hurtful in the world. Not to tell you at the time, but after the fact that this is what was gonna happen, whether there's nothing you could do about it. Right? And remember what she had said to you, that she was done. Like she'd said that months earlier. She felt that she'd
Yeah.
done everything she needed to do here and she was done. So you take all that knowledge together and the fact that you still see symbols of her, and it's really helpful because then
Right.
you say, okay, well, maybe this lifetime isn't all that there is. Like there is more, and that our death isn't something that's, while we don't want it to come, maybe it's not the end, and maybe we're still around, or we're choosing what we want to do for those people that we care about who are still here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
if she's putting symbols around, or your dad is, then clearly they're still trying to show you that they're around, that they're not out of existence, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it
It
is
just depends on what
comforting.
you think, existence is. I
Right.
mean, I guess when you develop a greater spiritual awareness or understanding or just belief, that then it actually makes you feel better because I don't know what's true and what's not true, right? But if I believe that, okay, we have choices, we can come back to this next life, or we don't have to come back here, we choose to learn something. Did I choose to learn all these things? Well, maybe that's great, like it makes me feel better. Okay, did I choose this? Well, then what do I need to learn out of it rather than just being mad that something happened, you know? And to understand that death is not an ending, it's merely a transition,
Yeah, I mean, spiritually,
you
like
know?
it's I can embrace that in the but in the earthbound realm, it's like, oh, but my mom can't pick up the phone and I can talk to her. So I mean, sometimes I just talk to her just out loud, and and so that's there. But it still is kind of a
But see,
scar thing.
again, you talked to her out loud and you still feel her presence, right? Where
Yeah.
there are people, including myself, where those people for me are still alive, but they have no presence in my life. So it's like, what does the earthly existence mean? Just
Right.
being on here in this earth doesn't mean that you're going to have connection or whatever. So I think that that's like, that doesn't, yeah, she, you can't talk to her on the phone, but you still do talk to her. And she still, if that was a sign, it was a sign to you that you were on the right path to break up, you know? Even though
Yeah.
you were sad about it, there she was saying, validating your actions.
Yeah, it was okay. What was interesting when I went to Colorado a couple weeks ago, I was walking down the street on my morning walk, and it was pretty early, and I just happened to look down. I don't normally look down at the sidewalk, and somebody had taken like a Sharpie and written 303, which I believe is the area code there, so it's not totally like random, but it is kind of random that someone wrote it in Sharpie on the sidewalk, and it happened to be at the exact moment that I looked down. Well, 303 is my mom's kind of nickname. It's the word mom spelled sideways, so she used to sign her cards as 303, which was mom sideways, and so I've always known her as 303, and it was just that's just something really special. And again, I know the area code is 303, so it's not totally random,
Yeah,
but
but not random, but the fact that you saw it at that time.
at that time, and I was like, oh, I felt her, like she's here with me in Colorado too, like
Right.
here she is, right? And so I've been barraged with her so much, probably more in the last 3 or 4 months than I have been since she died. And I think she knew, A, she was validating that I'm on the right path. B, she knew that this was going to be a really difficult time for me this summer, you know, with my kiddo leaving for Germany for a year and just feeling that sense of loss. My cat had died last year. Just kind of a real changing of the guard for me this summer. And she kept me company. And so I feel a sense of peace. And so I'm happy that she has been there for me. And then my dad too. So it is really comforting. So we'll see. We'll see if she
Well,
sends me more
okay, so
things.
here's my thing is that communication isn't right. So would we say, oh, I can't talk to her on the phone or I can't this or communication is this one thing, right? Is that really all that there is to communication in this world? So it's
Yeah.
like these deaths have broadened your idea of support and communication and contact.
Right. I mean, you're right, because you think about it. Okay, so did I receive more support from my mom and my dad over these last few months in a spiritual realm than I did from friends I haven't talked to in over a year?
Right.
You know, like what you were talking about. What
Exactly.
is the definition of
Right.
presence, right? Like,
Right.
you know, does that spiritual presence fulfill something, right? And like the signs that they're here continues to remind me that they're present because I can't see them with my five senses.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, do you ever get any kind of things like that for people who have passed
Nope,
away?
never.
No.
Only my cat once, Hobbs, this cat I loved. I was in my bathroom shortly after he died, and I'd buried him in the backyard. And I was like, just show me you're here. And then the sink fell off a flat. It was one of those pedestal sinks, but it had a really wide sink thing. It wasn't like it, nothing should have fallen off of there. And then you know how cats push things off. It like fell
Yep.
off. And that
Yeah.
was it. That was the only time ever. And then after Mama died, nothing. And I tried to communicate with Mama, but she's such a special being. She probably. Like she gave me enough while she was here on this earth, you know? Like I never needed anything more from her.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I'm not really that attached to the, I don't want to say more, you get more upset than I do about that kind of stuff. I think I've seen so much death and have been around so much death. To me, it doesn't have the same significance that it might to other people.
Yeah, I mean, I work in education. Like, I don't ever see like people
Right.
dying, and I've had very few people in my life until the last 15 years actually die, like close people. It was my grandmother, and then my mom's partner, her long-term partner, and then it was my dad died, and then my mom died, and then It was like, and then I just had a friend pass away unexpectedly. And so I'm not used to seeing death and being around death. And so it is jarring for the rest of
Well, I
us
mean,
out
I would
there.
be devastated, right, if my wife died. I mean, I'd be inconsolable. I don't know what I would do. But
Yeah.
that's like my daily person. I mean, I guess your mom was kind of your daily person. But yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Like all the other deaths, I've been like,
Really?
okay. Yeah. Because I didn't really have that much daily contact with those people, you
Okay.
know?
I mean,
I
that
think
might be
that
the
makes a
difference.
difference also, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like my mom, I talked to every day on the phone, and then I
Right.
just didn't. And so,
Well, and plus,
yeah.
again, we've talked about this before. You were put into a position of making a lot of decisions, medical decisions, that every time you made a decision, there was going to be a sequelae or outcome or whatever you'd say. Every time you made a decision, there was going to be a consequence, right?
Yeah.
And so it was not only grief, it was trauma because you were
Yeah.
like trying to, you were thinking that the decisions you would make would impact whether she lived or died.
Yes. And part of that was trying to like let that go for the first 9 months or so, right? And she would,
Right.
and her presence was more was I think her presence wasn't as strong during that time. Part of it was to kind of give me some spiritual and emotional space to just sit with it and not feel a sense of like guilt. I did the best I could, and I've come to that point. And I think her presence coming back to me now is kind of a sign to me that like she's here as kind of a co-collaborator without
Right.
having to like console me for my decisions on her imminent death. It's more just like, hey, I'm still your mom, and just showing up in a very different way. Because I think at first I was like, please just tell me that I did the right thing. Please, please forgive
Right.
me. And that it was kind of almost like a desperation call for her to show up. And I wasn't ready to
Right.
receive her in the same ways that I was now, where I was just going through some stuff and I was like, I just want my mom. I don't want, it's
Right.
nothing to do with her death or my decisions, but she showed up really different this time. And I thought that was cool. So,
Yeah, but she showed up after. I mean, there was that dog named Penny in Croatia.
yep.
There were signs and things, you
There
know.
were some, yeah. They were definitely there, and they were spread out just to let me know that she was okay. I think those signs let me know that she was okay. Whereas the signs that I felt like I got recently were more about, I'm here to support you, which
Right.
felt really different. One was more reassuring about like, again, my decisions that I made and that she's okay and that she forgives me for any
Right.
mess ups I made. And then this one was more just like, hey, I'm here and I love you. And I
Right.
thought, so it's
But you
kind
had
of
to give
cool.
that forgiveness to yourself because you didn't do anything wrong.
No, I didn't. And I did give that forgiveness to myself,
Right.
and so I learned to let that go. I did the best I could in the moment I could. And I mean, at the time, for months after, it was like doubting, like, should I have done this? Should I have done that? But, after a while I let it go because I was like, this is not going to serve me.
Right, it's just going to cause you so much mental anguish,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
Which the death already did. So why add on top of it? It's not like you chose for that to happen, you
Right, I
know?
know. And I didn't make any decisions out of malice or in
Right.
negligence.
Right.
I did everything that I could,
You were put in an impossible position. You're not a doctor. And
I
you're
know.
not even doctors, you know, for the most part. Like there's not a lot they can do sometimes, you know?
I know.
And it's the human body's so complex and all that's so complex, and then to expect people to be perfect, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's been interesting though, again, being open to her presence and how she shows up and continuing to be open about my dad's presence and just feeling kind of a sense of peace with them. It felt really
Right.
peaceful this last time with both of them. It didn't feel as jarring or like they're just letting me know they're okay, but it was more just like,
Right.
hey, I'm here. And so
Right.
maybe they'll continue, to be around more because I'm more at peace. And
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. I don't feel that desperation that you had before.
no.
But do you remember after the first breakup, right when we met, you were just going through that breakup and you saw that Let It Go doll everywhere?
Oh my gosh, that Frozen doll. And then
Yeah.
remembered somebody sent me a screenshot that she had put let it go, like a meme on her Facebook was like, you
Yeah.
know, and then I had seen that, and it was like a life-size
Doll
frozen
in someone's
doll.
garage.
It was so
Yeah.
creepy. And I remember
Right.
I was like, oh gosh. And
But you
so,
kept seeing it. Let it go, let it
oh.
go, let it go, you know?
And then I finally did. So it took a long time, but I got there. I let it go. And I'm at that stage right now too, which feels really, really good.
Yeah.
Remarkably good, right?
Right. And you know that you still have your parents' support.
Exactly. And that you're my spirit guide.
That's right. Right. I'm right here.
I know. I didn't know we did a recording where we had our astrologer talk about how spirit guides can't come in the human form. But then I was reading more about it, and it was like, that's actually pretty controversial. There are some people who believe that they can come in human form and some that don't. And so I guess it's whatever we feel like our connection is between us, and we can
Right.
continue to explore that.
And I am your spirit guide, and I think that's been really obvious.
Yes.
And
And
I'm
we.
leading you down the right path right now, so you should listen to me. You seem to have stopped your blocks against my advice, so that'll all be revealed later.
I
It's
am.
proven that I am right.
Yes, you have been right on so many occasions. So, and I'm not going down this road because of you, but I am.
Right.
It certainly does help because I feel very in alignment right now, which has been
Right.
something I've been struggling with lately. And even the universe knew that I was not in alignment. It kept, you know, kept breaking my car down and making, you know,
Right.
travel plans all over the place, and all sorts of things just kept popping up. And I feel a little bit more in alignment. And so those kinds of things aren't happening, but they're in alignment also with what you are believing and feeling too. So it
Right.
feels validating.
Good. See?
Yes.
Validating.
Validating. All right. Well, any wise words for our listeners about signs and symbols?
I mean, give them the weight that you think they deserve. You know, if it validates what you're already feeling, then great. You know, if it leads you down a really not great path, then don't. You know, maybe it's trying to tell you something else. But, like, I mean, I believe in them. I do.
Yeah.
They've been
Well.
very helpful to me and comforting, you know. In
And I,
times of stress, sadness, or drama,
yep. And I
you
think, you
know.
know, what you're talking about too is this idea of making sure that that aligns with also what you're feeling inside. Like if you see a sign that says something and it doesn't feel right, then don't do it. Because I mean, there's this element of something called confirmation bias, right? Like it was so interesting. I bought a Hyundai Kona, a new Hyundai Kona car. I've never heard of them. I'd never really seen them. And I just walked in and I was like, that's the car I want. I knew it. But then it was funny. Just a few days ago, I went to go to reserve a rental car somewhere, and it gave me a choice of getting a Hyundai Kona. And I'm like, I have never seen that as a rental car before. Now,
Wow.
that may very well be true, or it may be confirmation bias. I might have and just scrolled past it because I wasn't familiar with that kind of
You kind of
car.
know, though.
I mean, maybe, but that's the whole point is like the confirmation bias you have to be careful about, because if the sign doesn't align with the other intuitive responses you're having, then just double check it and see if it's confirmation bias. But if it feels like it's in alignment, it's in alignment. And guess what I did? I reserved the Kona. I was like, I want that car. I like that car.
I
So
know, it's your car
I
now.
reserved that for my rental car now. So I got the Kona. Anyways, all right. Well, Tracy, it's been a pleasure always talking about this kind of stuff. I think it's just fascinating. And so for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.